Well, let us turn to the inside page of the newsletter. And you can also turn to the book of Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And then chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Well, friends, I guess for some of you, you may have never ever read anything from this book of the Bible. It's called Song of Songs. In ancient days, the Jewish rabbis did not want children to read this book because this is a love song. Now, having heard that, you children might be tempted to go home and read this book. It is an exquisite love song. And I did not ask David to read it to you tonight because I thought it might not be very appropriate for a single man to read this amazingly intimate love song to the congregation. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And there are other expressions which are more intimate than these two. And this book has been held up in ridicule against Jewish people, against Christian people, and people laugh at the Jews and Christians. Hey, you guys, how come you got such an intimate love song in the Bible? How can you explain that? And Jews and Christians have been busy over the past 3,000 years trying to make some sense out of this book. No doubt it is a love song. A very intimate love song. And in many ways, some of the details are not very suitable for children or unmarried people to read. But why is it there? Well, my dear friends, I'm not going to tell you why is it there, except to say this to you. Down through the ages, God's people, Christ's people, have been using the languages of this book, in this book, to describe their relationship with the Lord. Christian people, the most godly and spiritual of them, have been using the language in this book to describe their relationship with Christ. And the amazing thing is this. That is true of the most godly and spiritual of Christ's people in every day and age and in every background. You got an English preacher like Spurgeon, Victorian era. We served, and he got many sermons on this book. You got a man like Watchman Nee, whose theology is quite different to Spurgeon's in the 1920s and 30s in China, Shanghai, and he used this same book, the same language, to describe his relationship with Christ. And then you got Roman Catholics, the most spiritual and godly of them, using the same language here to describe their relationship with Christ. Well, this book supplies some of the language we can use in our devotion to Christ. The early Christians were accused of many evils. You know, the Romans, the ancient Romans, were a very tolerant people. They didn't mind Jesus to be God, a God. They didn't mind to have another religion. But the early Christians were so severely persecuted, many of them were burned at the stake. You know why? Because the Christian faith didn't fit in with any religions at all. The Christians were accused of being atheists. Because Christianity is not a religion, my dear friend. It is a relationship. And that is entirely different to every other religion in the world and in human history. It is a relationship. And then the early Christians talks about the love feast. And they call each other brothers and sisters. So the Romans got rumors about them. What are these people doing? Male and female, slave and master, coming together early in the morning, late at night, in tombs. And they have love feasts. They are called Christ people. And they are seen eating the flesh of Christ and drinking his blood. These people are immoral. These people don't worship our God. Why can't they worship our God? We can accept their gods. Why can't they accept ours? And this is no religion at all, because it is not about some rituals or ceremonies. It is about this personal, intimate love relationship with God, with Christ, his Son. I mentioned Spurgeon, the Victorian era preacher. He got a thick book, got 52 sermons on the Song of Solomon. Imagine that, 52 sermons on this book. Titles like "Come, My Beloved," "Nearer and Dearer," "Paved with Love," "Loved and Loving." Sorry, "Loved and Loving." Love, joy in love. Heavenly, love sickness. Altogether lovely. Love to Jesus, the best of the best. The church's love to her loving Lord. You hear that? Christianity is about Christ's love for us and our enjoyment of his love in him, for him. My dear friends, what do we do as we come to the Lord's table? Some people, some Christian people even, see this as more or less like superstitions to blessing. I come to take communion, then I shall be blessed. The blessing is in the bread, in the juice, superstition. That's wrong. And then some other Christians, we act in the opposite direction. They say, what does this mean? It is only a mere ceremony. There's nothing in it except symbols, bread and juice. Now, my dear friends, some of you may be like that, but this is no mere ceremony. We call this communion. Communion with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the juice and the bread are symbols, but they're not just symbols. They are used as we exercise faith in Christ to have fellowship and communion with Christ. The Bible says the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. My friends, we are very slow to believe that. We think there's nothing more than juice and bread in the table. But the Bible says they are means ordained by Jesus for us to have fellowship with him, to have communion with Christ. And our communion with Christ is based on our union with Him. You know, friends, a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, should not be acting in that intimate love with each other if they are not married. But if they are married, they have that most intimate, personal, physical love because of their marriage. So tonight we're going to look at this. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Or I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer in Germany, he once said, "The glory of Christianity lies in its possessive pronouns." Now, who knows what are possessive pronouns? Well, I look at you, I see maybe not many of you know what are possessive pronouns. Maybe Jennifer, you remember possessive pronouns? No? Well, it means something like this. The Lord is my shepherd, my Lord and my God. My Redeemer liveth, my Lord Jesus Christ. God is mine. My beloved is mine. That is the possessive pronoun. The Lord is mine. I am his. And Luther says Christianity lies or consists in its possessive pronouns. My dear friends, I dare say no other faith, no other religion says anything like this. To many people, religion is a mere ceremony. Even to many Christian people, religion is a dead orthodoxy. We believe in the right doctrines, but it is a dead formalism. We come to church, we say our prayer, we hear the sermon, we have our church activities, and that's it. But that is not Christianity. Christianity is not a mere observance of rituals. Actually, the Christian church has very few rituals. Tonight you are going to see one of the two of them. And it is so simple. To other people, religion is a selfish superstition. Well, they say there must be something. Well, if I say this or recite this, I will get a blessing. Superstition. Nothing more than superstition. If I do this, I get that automatically. Like you go to an ATM machine. Now it's becoming more fashionable for many people to say, "I am God. I am part of the divine." The devout Muslims know nothing about God as their Father. This morning we talk about God as our Father. The Muslims recoil in horror. How can you say that? The Muslim will be shocked to his bones to hear that Christian people are saying to God, my beloved is mine. But my dear friends, the Christian says this, God is my beloved. My beloved is mine. Isn't it most wonderful to be able to call God my beloved? To say to God, my beloved is mine. You know what the Christian is saying? The Christian is saying that God so loved me, that He gave Himself for me. Christ who loved me and He died in my place, in my stead. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, though you may not know what are possessive pronouns, I hope most of you know what are prepositions. Do you know prepositions, Finney? Oh dear. What are prepositions? Now, surely, Jennifer, you know that. The glory of the gospel is to be found in its prepositions. And I must tell you, at least to some of you, if you don't know this by now, the Chinese language has no preposition. I remember as a boy, as a child, I learned English in Hong Kong, and we have to do multiple choice, and I got great trouble. Should I say in or on? You know, it is so difficult. And then it's like rolling a dice. Well, maybe it's in, maybe it's on. I'll just try. And I didn't get very good mark on that. Because in the Chinese language, we don't have prepositions. So you children, you young people, don't laugh at us older Chinese. We are trying. Even though we say the wrong preposition. Well, let us have a go. You know that preposition for. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. That is the gospel. Isaiah 53, he, referring to the Messiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. My dear friends, are you saying that tonight? Are you saying that Christ was made sin for me? We are saying as a congregation, as a church, Christ, he bore our transgressions for us. He was wounded for us. Another preposition. Instead of, my beloved took my place, he suffered in my stead, instead of me. Isaiah 53 again, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, thank God for the Greek language, we thank God for our brother Andros here. We thank God for the Greek language, for the Greek preposition. And then consider this another preposition, with. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You hear that? A Christian is saying, I have been crucified with Christ. Jesus died for me. I died with him. And now Christ lives in me. Now that is the crucial difference between what so many modern day people want to have. They say we are part of the divine. We are God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says God has come to us and loved us. His Son has died for us, and now by faith in him, Christ is living in us. We have fellowship with the Father and the Son. But we don't become gods. We don't become part of gods. But we have fellowship with God. Just like a man and a woman who fall in love. Can we say fall into love? Maybe we can say that. Well, some of you can correct me after the service. Now, they love each other. They got married. They have the most intimate union and communion and fellowship. but they remained as two people. Yet, in the profound sense, they are one flesh and one spirit. For those of us who are married, we know something of this, isn't it? We men, we are one with our wives, and yet we are distinct from them. We have fun together, we have joy together, and yet we are still two. The union and the communion, the union and the fellowship. I'll consider this again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." My dear friends, did you know that tonight, if you have believed in Christ, you are considered by the righteous and holy God to be perfectly righteous, spotless. You say, "I'm a sinner." Yes, but in Christ, you are righteous, because God considers you as in Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, my dear friends, let me pause here and ask you, do you say, "My beloved is mine"? This is Christianity. Nothing less than this is Christianity. Christianity is not just some mere church activities, worship, Bible study, morning tea, whatever. It's not just some ceremonies. Christianity is that we say to Christ, "My beloved is mine. Christ is mine." Tonight, are you glorying in these prepositions? For Christ for me. Instead of Christ died instead of me. With I die with Christ. In I am in Him. Is your hope, your faith anchored on these glorious prepositions? Is it? Or is our religion a mere formalism and dead orthodoxy? Now we go to the second part of our text, and I shall be very brief. "I am my beloved's." It's not just that Christ is mine, but I am His. Can you imagine a woman saying to her husband, sorry for the gender confusion, can you imagine a woman saying to her husband, "Well, you are mine, but I'm not yours"? You know, in days gone by, when some men had many wives, they were saying that to their wives, "You are mine. You are my wife. You may be 60 years old, you may be 16 years old, you are my woman, but I'm not your man. You belong to me, but you have no claim over me." My friends, that is not the Christian faith. The Christian faith says to Christ, "Christ, you are mine, and I am yours." You know what it means when people say, by faith, "The Lord is my shepherd"? My friends, let me ask you, what is shepherd for? You say, "Well, shepherd is for protection." That's right. But shepherd does much more than that. In Bible time, shepherd is the leader. The shepherd leads the sheep. Ancient Near Eastern shepherds did not go behind the sheep, but they went before the sheep. They didn't drive the sheep, but they led the sheep. So shepherd in scriptures means kingship, leadership. Are you saying tonight to Christ, Lord Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. Take me. Take my life. I am yours. Say that to Christ even now. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, we bow before you. We pray that we may indeed know you to be our Lord and our God, our Savior, our King, our Master, our all in all. In Jesus' name.